TurboTax believes that with the right tools and encouragement, people can be good at anything. And yes, that includes taxes. And to help people feel more comfortable with the tax process, TurboTax Live gives you access to experienced CPAs and EAs who are happy to review your return line by line to make sure your taxes are done right and that you get your best possible refund. TurboTax. All people are tax people.
You are listening to Let's Talk Tribe, the official Let's Go Tribe podcast.
Swung and lined to deep left field. It is gone!
This is Let's Talk Tribe, the official Let's Go Tribe podcast, episode 142. I'm your host, Matt Lyons, and on this week's episode, Shane Bieber is named the opening day starter. We'll have more updates for the injuries for Carlos Carrasco and Oscar Mercado. Christian Yelich got a gigantic extension. We'll talk about how it does and doesn't relate to Francisco Lindor. We'll preview shortstop for the Indians, and of course, we'll take questions. Joining me for all that and more is another Mr. Merritt Rolfing. Merritt, how are you doing?
Framil Reyes is trending on Baseball Savant. I have no time to talk to you. Why is he trending? Did he do something today? Did he hit a fat dinger, probably?
I don't think so. Not any more fat dingers than usual.
The typically fat dinger. I mean, he's also trending with Mike Trout for some reason. Maybe they're the
Mike
same
Trout
person.
Is trending.
Yeah, I know. Well, that doesn't make any sense, person. Though, because it's like change in time over last year, or like yesterday. Which is why I can affect it sometimes if I'm writing an article about some obscure Indians player. And you just see 125% increase.
Josh Donaldson.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I would assume that, like, when people discover, hey, this is Baseball Savant thing, the first thing they do is go look at Mike Trout. And then, because I can't think that many people are just looking at Mike Trout daily. Maybe they are. But although, speaking of, man, his hard hit rate is slipping. He's slipping. He's only 81st percentile now.
He's trash. He is the worst player. That's the thing. You know, he's never really been superb at everything. Apparently, he is still 95th percentile in sprint speed. Good Christ.
Yeah, he's just built like a linebacker. Did you see him kill that golf ball that he hit? That was a big video.
Yeah.
That was cool. I don't play golf. I can't really contextualize how difficult that is. That can't be easy, though, right? That's a tiny little ball that he hit over the fence.
I mean, I don't know. Fuck do I know? I have a friend who does it.
Aren't you an avid golfer with your cats, Mert?
I've been to Top Golf before, so you know. I mean, I guess you could say I'm a specialist.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, so things we are specialists about, I guess, is Shane Bieber. I consider us Shane Bieber specialists because we've watched him for a while and we like him and we like what he does, and he's the opening day starter now. I think it was maybe kind of by default. He's the first non-Corey Kluber or Justin Masterson pitcher since like 2011. I think Carrasco was an option, but maybe it was, I don't know, we talked about before that he was kind of the great PR slam dunk one to use, but maybe there's just concerns about his injury and not 100% that they just gave it to Bieber. But I think on merit, it's not terrible to have him there. I think if Clevenger was healthy, he probably would have got it, but it's not also the worst thing in the world because Bieber's really fun. Terry Francona said, so the way it happened was Francona told the media after his start before talking to Bieber, which I thought was kind of funny. He said, I texted him and said, hey, Biebs, I kind of said you're the opening day starter. I called him and missed him, and he called me back. I said, Biebs, I just don't want you to get caught off guard. I thought it was kind of funny, but I don't want to get you caught off guard. It was kind of funny, actually.
That is cute.
First of all, I like that he calls him Biebs.
Yeah.
Normally, and second of all, I like that happened. Like, he probably had a little panic that he didn't tell him beforehand, but I'm sure Bieber's excited. He was.
Now we have a Biebs and a Bebo on the same team. In fact, they pitched one throws to the other one.
Did you also see that Bieber didn't get his truck, apparently, until recently?
That's bullshit.
He had to call in and have him deliver it. So maybe this is to make up for that, the fact that he didn't get a truck forever.
What a scam they're running there, huh? Oh, we're going to get you to hustle the All-Star game and tell you we're going to give you this truck. But really what it's going to do is get you in a room so we can try and sell you a timeshare, which is really only available between the months of June and August, which, of course, is bad for a baseball player. Because what are they doing at that time, Matt? That's right, playing baseball.
Allegedly. Are we just saying that baseball is on elaborate timeshare scheme?
Yeah, I know. It's all a huge pyramid scheme based around selling timeshares to rich baseball players. It's genius, really.
The baseball players that they give the money to.
Yes,
and exactly. Then they make them give it back. Yeah. Yes, it's called investing. Look it up.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's all about time to value and growth rates. Where were we? Oh, yeah. Pretty cool that Shane Bieber is the opening day starter. I mean, he's the best pitcher on the team right now.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, that's pretty clear.
Probably not the most talented pitcher on the team right now. That's Mike Clevenger, but Clevenger's A, healthy, and B...
so you think even when he's healthy, you think Bieber's better than Clevenger?
No.
Omitting Clevenger because he's injured.
No. He's the best pitcher because he's also able to go. He also threw 200 innings last year, and also will do it again this year, and is healthy now. He's so you know.
I see what you're saying. Yeah,
showing up is literally step one of being a pitcher.
it's yeah,
and yeah, which is not to no. I'm not going to sit here and say that Mike Clevenger's injury prone or anything like that. He threw 200 innings 2 years ago, and last year was hurt. Throwing a baseball is hard, but Shane Bieber rules, and he's kind of like a central casting type of what an ace pitcher would look like. So it makes sense that he'd be the one starting opening day. It just looks right, I suppose.
Yeah, and I wrote last year when he won the All-Star Game MVP that he could be the face of baseball. It sounded crazy. It sounds slightly less crazy every day, I think, but he's getting there.
Can a
he's
pitcher so be the face of baseball? Does baseball even
want a face? I
feel like
Clayton Kershaw was at some point.
I disagree.
He was pretty close.
I mean, close-ish, I guess. I always feel like it has to be a position player because you got to see him every day. That's I don't true. Think that the face of baseball should spend 4 out of 5 days just sitting there and spitting, sunflower seeds.
That's why we need a Bieber cam in the dugout so we can always watch Shane Bieber.
You know what? See, that's what baseball is missing is some sort of hyper-integration into media like that where every single player has a dedicated camera on them. This will not be abused by anyone trying to steal signs or anything. But
in spring training, they were doing everybody's mic'd up. That was really cool.
Yeah, they used to do that all the time. I mean, I think that if baseball really wanted to really just get into it, they would just mic up everything and stop caring quite so much and just have it turn it into rich men playing beer league softball. It'd be great.
I mean, you don't even have to have it like broadcast all the time. Doesn't NFL record almost everything and then you get to play it back later? Like, I don't know why they can't do that. You don't have to interview Mookie Betts in the middle of a play, but have him mic'd up so like when you're going to break, you can come back to big play you did and record him yelling as he's going to get the ball and stuff. Like,
or you could interview him while he's running to get the ball.
get it.
Mookie, I know you're busy right now, but I'm just wondering, what'd you think about that fastball you swung at the 2 innings ago? What? I'm busy.
You really suck, Mookie.
Trips, falls over. Great stuff.
Yeah. What we don't need is Carlos Carrasco and Oscar Mercado being injured. As I mentioned, Carrasco, it might have been part of the reason he's not the opening day starter, but he was... Terry Francona just said he was pushed back because he had soreness in his elbow. I guess you can sort of look at it optimistically, unless depending on how much you trust what Francona says anymore about injuries. But he said every spring after his first outing, he gets mild elbow inflammation. He calls it more maintenance than anything. He'll still do weighted balls. So I guess it's just normal. He had a hip flexor, so he just started spring training. So his usual trip to the DL or IL, which doesn't happen in spring training, but his usual setback just came a little bit later than usual, I guess. But I would hope that's the case, and he's not actually going to miss anything because it's going to get mighty dim really quick if he's out for a length of time, too. But
why? They have like 5 ace-level starters. What are you talking about? Isn't it 2018? Oh, no. Time happened.
Yeah, there was. We'd be down into the Jeffrey Rodriguez. I think we're already at Adam Plutko is the level we're at now.
Mm-hmm. Cause, yep.
Yeah, so we'd plumb the depths there a little bit. But Mercado's the more one that's more troubling just because he's Oscar Mercado. He had a more terrifying-looking injury. Anytime one of your limbs bends in a weird way, it's terrifying. And he dove for a ball and his wrist was not the way it's supposed to be.
Even if it bends too far the right way, you know what I mean? So any kind of bending.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, any overt bending, none of that. Just none of that.
Yeah. But yeah, it was supposed to be supposedly a sprain. There was a test on Sunday that said the same thing. So he just used Sunday and Saturday to quote settle down the injury, whatever that means.
Ace, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. It was another Terry Francona thing that said he would have played if it was a regular season, definitely if it was the playoffs, which I feel like he'd say that if his leg got blown off, he'd walk it off in the regular season. but that's what he said now for this one. So I guess maybe we won't have to see Delino DeShields every single day, hopefully.
Hey,
but
you got to have faith at this time of year, right? I mean, it's a wrist injury, which is always troubling for a small guy who, you know, needs, you know, well, all batters need good wrists. But I'm less worried about that one than the Carrasco one. It's just Carrasco, you know, I mean, remember he did have Tommy John surgery 7 years ago, and I remember reading one time that the rough time frame for needing another Tommy John surgery is about 7 or so years. So,
that's terrifyingly exact.
Yeah, I know, right? I mean, again, maybe it's nothing. It sounds like it's nothing because it happens every single year. Again, like I was saying with Bieber or Clevenger, whoever, throwing a baseball is very hard and an improper motion. So I think getting him along slowly is probably the most important thing. He only threw 80 innings last year and also got over cancer. So I would hope that they treat him, especially with kid gloves. Although I'm saying with Mercado when I think about it, because like you mentioned, Delino DeShields is the backup. And then if he's starting, then at the outfield, it looks like what? Franmil Reyes and Jake Bowers and Delino DeShields or...
Jake Bowers, who has struck out 7 times in a row as of this recording. So
you know what? It's good to be eager. or they could put Domingo Santana out there or something, because creativity is good or something.
Yeah, so it sounds like you could use Domingo, or not Domingo, but Delino DeShields, like a late inning. I've seen a bunch of people bring this up, that he can be basically a pinch defender more than ever, because there's 26 men on the roster now. But like, you have you have Reyes and Santana on the corners, and then hope to God nothing happens in the first several innings, and then bring in Santana when you need him, or Delino DeShields when you need him on the outside. But of course, if Mercado's injured, he's in center field. You can't do that. You're stuck with his bat four times a game.
And I guess the rule changes, you mentioned the 26th man, but also the fact that, you know, a certain loss of specialization in the bullpen means that Francona will at least have more things to play with as far as platooning and putting Delino DeShields Jr. in there. Why did I say Jr.? I know he is, but what the hell? No, I know. But
I stopped saying, nobody calls him Jr., I don't know, so I stopped typing it everywhere. I guess he doesn't go by Delino DeShields Jr., but...
I mean, I don't know. Anyway,
because it's not like an official thing. It's very important.
It does allow for more moving parts and more platooning and things like that, which Francona is very good at. And the Indians are very good at finding flawed but good hitters. So maybe papering over the Mercado thing is easier than I think. It's just the defense is really what I care about, and like that's why I was worried that the outfield would be garbage, basically just a heap of old filth, and every fly ball would be a
triple,
a triple at the very somehow five. It'll be a five base hit every single time. It'll be very confused. They'll just go to first again. We're like, well, they deserve that because we boned it that one big time.
They get to keep that one, yeah. And I guess Lupo is going to be in there somewhere, of course. And he's
of course.
He's fine on defense.
My favorite player.
If he hits anything against right-handers, that's a sneaky, really good.
Yeah, that's a
year he could have. Just because he's so good against lefties, but I want to see anything against right-handers.
I mean, I still say that he was getting better at hitting righties and just being able to do it and having the opportunity to do it might be good for him. Maybe
if
I'm wrong.
Any year to give him the opportunity, it's this year.
And the thing is,
nobody there.
I say that about every single lefty only hitter or a guy who only, you know, any platoon bat. I always say, like, just give him some consistent time. And I will always look like a moron for saying that, but I'll continue to say it and be proved right eventually. Because
if you just say the same thing over and over again, you're right eventually. That's how it works. You just ignore the rest of them and just go by the one that was right.
We call that
science, man.
Signal versus noise. It's basic statistics, Matt. Anything that goes against what I believe is noise, and everything that agrees with my philosophies, that's the signal. That's the basis of all that Nate Silver ever has worked on. So
there you go. I can't decide if it's more or less depressing news story, is that Christian Yelich and the Brewers, and by the way, the smallest market in baseball.
Why are you pulling all the saddest stories today?
What else do you want?
It is March 8th. Something good happened.
Nothing good happened.
There's the curious question of why Franmil Reyes is trending on Baseball Savant.
We've decided that we don't know. That's why.
I'm assuming someone at Let's Go Tribe or A Way Back and Gone or It's Pronounced Lazarway is writing an article about Franmil Reyes. And
that is a lot of searching. It was up 77%, but... Maybe they're trying to compare Christian Yelich's 9-year, $250 million contract to Franmil Reyes.
He's only up 22%.
That's of course what the Brewers signed him to. It was so 7 years of that is technically the extension, $188 million. Then it has a friendly or a mutual, option for the 10th year. Yeah, and it basically goes over his two team friendly years that he has left, and then it's a boatload of money. And of course, that spawned in the year of Francisco Lindor trade talk. It spawned a million think pieces about how it does or doesn't relate to Francisco Lindor, the Indians extending him. I think the obvious difference is that Lindor is going to get so much more money because he's going to be entering free agency as like a 27, 28 year old.
26, 27, yeah.
Yeah, and Yelich is already in his 30s, so it's a huge difference. Is he already in his 30s? Why did I say that?
He'll be 28 this year.
Well, he was going to enter in his 30s.
Oh, yes. Okay. But, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a huge difference as far as what they would have got. But I think Yelich, he maybe took a little bit of a hometown discount, but it's not like an egregious amount. And I think Lindor has already pretty much said that that's not going to happen. He doesn't, which good for him. He's going to take as much as he can, and then Dolan should pay him as much as he wants. But which side of this do you fall on? It seemed like there was very heated arguments about the fact that either this is very comparable, and obviously the Indians should do it, because the Brewers and Indians, they're very similar in terms of their evaluation and their market size. The Brewers are actually smaller. But as far as the players themselves, I don't think there's a whole lot of comparison. It's just the fact that there doesn't need to be comparison. It doesn't matter because the Indians obviously have the money. And Lindor has said that repeatedly, and it's just I don't know. Which side do you come down on that it's either similar or not similar?
Well, I mean, it's just, I don't know. The only reason you compare contracts really is because they're all the same and the values only ever go up, basically, sort of. But I don't think it's comparable because Lindor is much more, well, I don't know, actually, I mean, you know what? I don't know how I feel about it. I don't think there's a way to compare the two. Yelich is a wonderful player. I mean, he's been worth almost 15 wins the last 2 years, and he missed most of September this past year and would have won an MVP had he played the entire season, I think. I don't know. I mean, has Francisco Lindor had more than one seven-win season? That's a funny question to wonder.
He hasn't, and that's kind of a thing I think it's looked over a lot, is the fact that he's super projectable. He's had an amazing season and a couple really, really good seasons. But
yeah.
He had the one, 2018 was 7.6 WAR. That was his best by a long shot. The other ones were in the fives. Last year was a four because of the injury. But
right.
But he's extremely consistently in like a 5.5 win player. And then he's like, Zips projects him to just continue to be good throughout his 30s and, or into his early 30s and late 20s and all that. But,
and I mean, he's, you know, obviously he's a power hitting shortstop who's fun to look at, plays the defense as good as anyone in the world and is generally the perfect baseball player who will also be 28 when he hits free agency. I have to assume. Right, that the Indians have offered him this contract, something like this. There was that talk, 2 years ago, that he turned down a six-figure deal. I mean, he made 17 this year already, or will be making 17 this year already. So if he has one more year of, or two more years, I guess, of arbitration.
Yeah, he does. Or no, just right? One more year.
Just one more after this year. Right, so I mean, that's basically what, because he got 17.5 this year. I assume if he has another year like he just had, he'll get $25 million. And then he'll get $35 million a year. I mean, I think
they'd offer it, but he would laugh at it and turn it away. I don't think he'd accept that.
No, I mean, I think if they offered him $200 million this year, and if they had offered him that this year, and including the two buyout years, I don't think he would have taken it. But
nope.
That's probably the ceiling of something they're looking to be able to offer. I mean, I agree with you. They can probably afford. There's all the weird things we don't really think about, and you have to wonder about with them losing one of the two owners or another owner, the guy who just bought the Royals. How much did that cost them? And just things like that. So, I'm fully in favor, obviously, of them offering a deal like this to Francisco Lindor, but I just don't think it would get done for less than $250 million. Like there again, it wasn't 2 years ago where they were talking about a six figure deal was turned down, and that would have been
it was right after the World Series. It was the spring training, and Mike Chernoff's son, I think, leaked it on a broadcast. That was really great. I wonder how miffed Lindor was over that. I doubt it's like made that much of a difference, but he'd be maybe a little annoyed that. The stuff they were talking about got leaked out, but I don't know. Yeah. Not, but and I was looking just to confirm it was Zips. Like, he is going to be worth, according to Zips, at least 5 WAR through 2025. So if you extended him for, 10 years, half of that, you would get quality out of it easily.
Yeah, exactly, which in effect, quarter.
Which is a lot more than you're going to get with Yelich, probably. Because, I mean, he's going to be going to his 30s. I think he's probably more injury prone. I think just because he's an outfielder and he's going to be running into walls and stuff, but... I mean, it's just
plus he plays a less defensively valuable position,
right?
But hey, an 1100 OPS is hard to slash at. So you know, I don't know. I you wonder too, though, what a deal like this is actually going to look like. Not look like, but you know, we're already seeing what's happening with like the Nolan Arenado deal. Like they just did that, and then they just aren't doing shit else. And now he's mad. And I don't know. The complaint isn't just. I think the broader sense, like we want the Dolans to give Francisco Lindor money because we never want to see him wear a different uniform. But then will they do that and say, we gave him the money, you goddamn miscreants, you...
and then do nothing else.
And then just do nothing else, which, obviously, with their ability to develop pitching and other pretty good players, the team would still be competitive, but that would be a very frustrating team to be on all the same.
Yeah.
It's more we just want them to continue to invest more money in the team than they already are. And, I mean, the Rockies aren't doing it, and will the Brewers are have a bunch of money coming off the books, but like they're not going to do things like... I don't know who was on the team last year. I don't know if they're going to give a lot of money to Brandon Woodruff.
Mike Moustakas. He's already gone.
He's already gone. Kane is, he's off the books soon. Josh Hader, they probably won't give him a lot of money. You go down to the guys who were great. Yasmani Grandal is already gone. I mean, this team's going to be worse than it was last year. They just still have their MVP candidate. So
Yeah, remember they also have still have Ryan Braun for a couple of years, I think, when they signed him to a massive
I think he comes off the books pretty soon, but he's still on the fucking team.
Yeah, didn't they sign him like right before he had the steroid thing?
They have a mutual option in 2021. Okay. $4 million. So this will be his last year as a Brewer, probably. Yes, and yes, they did sign him right before the steroid thing, and then that was.
And it's a steroid thing because he obviously didn't take steroids because they mishandled the.
Listen, they mishandled his specimen. Urine. All right.
When you handle urine, you got to do it the right way. Right? You got to really put your heart into it. You can't just half-ass handling the urine. Really,
but I, in general, I do like this whole kind of thing where small market teams are signing their face of franchise types like the Rockies and the Brewers did, but continuing to do stuff with the team rather than just give that one guy money and then expect the fan base to shut up about it.
Right. The Rockies really ruined that for everybody else.
Yeah, exactly. Like they were just like, oh, well, what else are we going to do? I don't even know. What's a baseball anymore? Shoot. I mean.
And yeah, people brought that up. Like teams don't usually win with 30% of their payroll being on one player, but here's a magical thing you can do is also pay other players.
You know what? You could raise your payroll and thus the percentage goes. It's weird how it works out that
math,
way.
Math, man. It's crazy.
Because, let's see. Nolan Arenado is making how much this year? He'll be making, $35 million. By the way, he can opt out after the 2021 season. What the hell?
it's a weird thing. Yelich doesn't have one of those. He wants to be in Milwaukee. He just has a no-fold trade trial. Everything.
He has a trade clause? He has no trade clause?
Yeah, he has a full no trade clause.
Oh, well, that changes then, because that's the thing. Are they going to trade Nolan Arenado now? That would be hilarious.
No, not Arenado. It's Yelich.
No, I know. That's the talk is, are they going to trade Nolan Arenado? Which, I mean, if you're going to keep on dicking around like this, yeah, trade his ass. But $35 million. I mean, he's one of the higher paid players in baseball, but other teams have multiple players making that much money. I look no further than the fucking Yankees. And yeah, the Yankees are rich as hell, but
so is every other team.
Every team has
not as rich as the Yankees, but
yeah, exactly. Or like the Dodgers. The Dodgers are going to probably re-sign Mookie Betts once he's a free agent, and they also have a lot of money tied up in everyone else on that goddamn team. Cody Bellinger is still a pre-arb, but he's going to get a lot of money once he hits it. So yeah, I don't know. It's just irritating that they don't sign him because you see other small market teams able to pull it off, but Indians just seem resistant to. Something fun, I guess. I think there's resistance to fun. That's their problem.
Yeah, resistance to fun.
Hello, this is Jesse David Fox. I'm a senior editor at Vulture, and I host the podcast Good One, a podcast about jokes. It's a podcast about, well, jokes. Every week, I sit down with a comedian, comedy writer, or director. We listen to one of their jokes and figure out how it all came together.
I don't sit down with a pen and a pad and physically write down everything. That's not my style.
It turns out, comedians take jokes pretty seriously.
I like all jokes, okay? That's what I do. That's what I live for. There's really nothing else I care about.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all very revealing. What did you sort of learn from this? What was your takeaway?
Nothing, guy. I'm not a smart person.
Good One from Vulture and the Vox Media Podcast Network. Subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts or on your favorite podcast app. You do know how to use the podcast app, right?
Oh, what a great question, Jesse David Fox.
So that brings us to our next position review, which is a very easy one for the majors. It's shortstop. Francisco Lindor there, it's an A+. I mean, I don't know what else you want. Who cares who the backup is? Mm-hmm. Because he's going to play every game unless he's injured at that point. Who cares anyway? The season's over. But yeah, I mean, digging deeper, it's probably one of the deepest positions the Indians have.
Oh, definitely. I mean, only because you think about how they draft. They always draft up the middle.
Right.
And then if you go up to, like, for instance, like Fangraph's top prospects, half of them are shortstops.
Yeah, it's like Tyler Freeman, Ryan Rocchio, Ernie Clements, a shortstop.
Ernie Clements on there, yeah. Baseman. Marcos Gonzalez, I think, is listed on there as well. And these are all guys who are, I mean, Ernie Clements, the only one who has any chance of making the majors this year, probably. But again, we don't want to see him because all we ever want to see is Francisco Lindor. I mean, there was an article a couple weeks ago about Brian Rocchio. Rocchio about how he isn't Francisco Lindor yet, but the Indians, and I believe we talked about how the Indians get guys who perform well based on where they are, like compared to older players at their mm-hmm. same level. And he's one of those guys. And God, they just have so many shortstops on this list that are just on their top prospects. Let's see, where's another one? Gabriel Rodriguez. I mean, he's a he's 17 years old in rookie ball. Somehow he's their 15th or their 14th best prospect, which is uncomfortable, but still.
Yeah.
It's not a Rudy Clemente right there. Jose Tania.
And I do wonder how much Jose Tania, that's one that Alex Hooper on Cleveland Baseball Insider kind of latched onto. He's really intriguing too. I mean, there's you can just throw a stick at the roster and find these guys. It's the Indians are going to be loaded in like 4 to 5 years, I feel like, because everybody's so low in the major or the minors, but it's just bridging that gap is going to be difficult. I'd rather do it with Lindor, but even if they can't, I think there's going to be a lot of good years ahead, I would hope, but I just want to have good years until then too, which they can do with the pitching they have.
I mean, I hope so, just because, like that article about Rocchio is performing well against players that are older than him, and you hope that maintains and he continues to perform well, but performing well for a 17-year-old, or what is he? Yeah, he's 18, doesn't always translate into turning into the next Francisco Lindor, which is obviously what we want, but so many times these prospects turn into little more than roster filler or, peeking out of like a 3 to 4 win player, which is great. But again, I don't want that. I want these draftees to turn into stars. And
you don't have to look much further than like Greg Allen as far as where, because he was this sort of same kind of hyped up as like not the top of a bunch of lists, but he has all these tools and he could be really good outfielder. And he's not really actually that good in the majors. It feels like a lot of these guys who look good as in the lower minors kind of could pan out as the same thing as a shortstop is. Maybe serve as a backup, but it's hard to know when they're just so low. But they just have so many good tools in the minors, which...
Toolsy.
I just want to see the Indians draft a good position player again, instead of just all these... I'm not going to complain about pitchers, but I want to see them draft and develop more position players than they have.
Well, it's like we were talking about before. It's harder to have a face of the franchise be a pitcher, because you only see him once every 5 days. And it's cool that the Indians hit gold with like this. And it would be very nice if they could do it again with, whether it's a Nolan Jones or... at third, or Yu Chang figures it out, or Rocchio actually does figure it out. But I don't want to wait 4 years. I want it to happen now. So
yeah, I'm spoiled, man. I've had four. I want to keep winning now. I don't want to go back.
I mean, I just, when it comes to shortstop in general, I would say that only because everything else is so far away, it's hard to give it an A+ rating. Because
how dare you?
Well, I mean, if Lindor does go down, then they're absolutely screwed.
It's at least an A, right? Like an A-?
Yeah, no, I mean, I'll give it an A. Yeah, I just won't give it an A+. I mean, I guess I'm just a tough grader, because I don't think anyone has both the best player at his position and also in the minors some guy who come up there and fill that role in handily. Like, that just doesn't exist, but you got to have space for it. That did actually happen, so...
I'd give it an A+. That's close enough for me. They're missing that gap there, but also the minors guys are so good and the potential to be so good. And maybe Yu Chang, like you said, he's right there. He could figure it out and be a decent backup. Who knows? But
I mean, I'll be honest with you. I used to get so enamored of prospects, and now I just feel burnt out on them, because again, I look at this list of young shortstops they have. I'm like, oh, one of these guys is going to be a stud, and it doesn't happen. It hasn't happened for so long, and then they get someone who's a sure thing in Francisco Lindor, and he was that sure thing. Like, I don't know if Nolan Jones will actually be any good. I want him to be. I thought Yu Chang was going to be good, because I read a bunch of things about him. Like, ooh, he's going to be pretty good. And it turns out, no, not good. Yeah.
I think part of that, too, burnout is when you have an actual good team in the majors, like, you don't care about the minors as much.
Yeah.
So it's not quite as being emotionally invested in. It's like, oh, there's a good guy. There's not. Who cares?
Well, and like, a lot of teams, because they tank and they revert back, and so like they have to sell that future. The Indians were never really, I don't know, it just never felt like they were really in that same boat. There was always the chatter that Francisco Lindor was going to be good, but they already had good players when that chatter was coming. You know, like we already got to watch Carlos Santana, who they traded for, but they already had all these good young players and the building blocks of a mini Great Lakes dynasty there. So, it was just like, oh, and we have this cherry on top called Francisco Lindor. But then Jose Ramirez also happened, who was not talked about. No one knew who the hell he was, and it was amazing. So, we've just never had that 5 years of, you know, like the Orioles now are just beating the drum for Adley Rutschman or any of the other young guys they drafted 1-1, you know? The Indians have just never been in that boat, at least in my lifetime. Because when was that they drafted 1-1? Like, the 80s?
Yeah. Maybe. I don't ever. I'm not sure if they've had a first overall pick. I can't.
Writers call in, or listeners call in, and
writers too, whatever. Yeah, okay,
someone, I don't know.
Yeah,
call in and let us know. The number is Matt. I'll give you the number.
Beep. Anyway, See, it'll just be edited in over that. We'll just put it over the beep. There'll be
yeah, it's perfect. It's called radio magic, folks. But yeah, no, it's a, again, so, it's this is probably the no, it's definitely their strongest position simply because this is what they always draft high. If not that, then it's going to be center fielders. But you know what? I'm just never going to trust the Indians when it comes to outfielders again because I got burned so bad so many times and it just hurts, man. It hurts. After what I grew up watching with all those young outfielders and now this, ugh. Just ugh.
All right. So every Sunday, we ask you guys for questions, Twitter, Facebook, and Let's Go Tribe comments. We got quite a few this week, so I tried to
Make Mitch.
Most of the comments because we got a lot of good ones. And I like answering questions. It's fun.
I love it. It's the best part. It's my favorite part. I get to ridicule the listeners.
At S. Brady Artist, he asked, I was having a discussion with friends about knuckleballers and how with a driveline-esque approach, a flamed-out pitcher could basically reinvent themselves as a knuckleballer.
Very true.
We came up with Brady Aiken as a possible candidate. I doubt this ever happens, but thoughts. I don't know about Brady Aiken specifically, but yeah, that's really popular. I feel like there have been knuckleballers like that, right?
R.A. Dickey is a perfect example of that. He was shit, and then he not shit, but he
wasn't.
You know, he didn't have a UCL or something. There's some weird thing when he got drafted, and it messed him up. But then he learned the knuckleball. Before that, actually, Tim Wakefield was always a bit of a knuckleballer. I think Hoyt Wilhelm taught him how to throw a knuckleball because it's like the Highlander, you know. But who was that knuckleballer that was on the Red Sox in the middle of the decade? They had one.
He hurt his shoulder too, right? Diving when he was really good.
Maybe
because he was running the bases for some stupid reason.
Stephen Wright. Yeah, Stephen Wright. Yeah. So
not the comedian, the baseball player.
I mean, we've seen pitchers do this even without knuckleballs. I mean, Adam Ottavino is a perfect example of a pitcher who rebuilt himself using that driveline-esque approach of, you know, pitch design and things like that. The knuckleball, I mean, if you can throw it perfectly, it's awesome, but you're still going to be a 4 ERA guy because every now and then it just floats the wrong way and ends up in the very much the wrong. Nowadays,
I wonder if you could fix that with, like, driveline stuff, like getting down as much as they do with the science of it. Because I don't think it was ever tried that with a knuckleball. It's always about getting more velocity and shaping pitches. But shaping a curve knuckleball, that'd be kind
of
cool.
Yeah, but the whole point of the knuckleball is you don't know where it's going to go. No one does. Like, the pitcher doesn't know either. The throwing of it without any spin means that it can go anywhere.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're right. They could learn how to throw the perfect knuckleball, but knuckleball is so much more of a piece of art than anything that's scientific in any real way. So I love the idea. I think it'd be hilarious to watch that, you know, the hyper slow-mo thing of just the ball going boom and just kind of like
and slowly wobbling back and forth.
I'd love to see that. Now that I think about it, like all the other pitch, it's cool to see them move and everything like that, but I want to see the knuckleball actually dance because it's cool. And so yeah, I love that idea.
Yes, thanks for the question. Next one, at SlangEUG, he asked, if the Indians were to sign Lindor to a ridiculous extension, would that be a red flag the Dolans are looking to sweeten the pot before selling?
Selling what, the team?
Right, yeah. I think it's the opposite. I think if you're going to sell the team, you strip everything out so somebody buys it, right? I don't think you load it up with a bunch of contracts.
Who gives a shit if they sell the team? I don't care. I'd prefer that happen, quite honestly. I mean, if Mark Cuban decided he actually did want a baseball team again and somehow and they actually let him buy when he bought the Indians. Are you kidding me? That's what I want. I want a rich sportsman owner. Yes.
Sportsman.
Yeah. John
Sherman was going to take over the team at one point, wasn't he? Wasn't he in line to like be the owner after just taking part of it?
I don't know. But you know, like that guy who almost bought the Mets. Yeah. Who spent more money on some fucking weird statue than on the entire Garrett Cole contract? Yeah, no. Listen, I hate how much wealth inequality is in this country right now. And I billionaires probably got their money in immoral ways, but I don't want to listen to a politics thing. I remember talking to a friend of mine about soccer and which would they rather have, a Russian oligarch or oil money? And the answer is always oil money, because even though it comes from a dark place, with the slavery and whatnot, that money can be laundered so well, and everyone needs oil, so you can. So, if like an oil sheik for some reason wanted to buy the Indians, is what I'm saying, Matthew? Yeah, definitely, man. If he's trying to stash money overseas in the form of the Cleveland Indians,
he's never even heard of baseball. He just sees a good laundering opportunity.
Yeah, like the thing is, you can't really do it full bore with like English soccer. They have all that financial fair play stuff. he could just pour so much goddamn money into the Indians. It would be ridiculous. Payroll
shoots up to $500 million. They're just buying everybody in sight.
Out of nowhere. Like when the Dodgers got bought by the Guggenheim partners, that's just a whole bunch of hedge fund guys and things like that. Like, I mean, if the Indians could actually get some of that sweet, sweet vampire capital money in there, dude, yes, I accept this. So yeah, if to answer the actual question, no, probably not. That doesn't make any real sense. I don't think that having a long-term asset like that on the books, it makes the team less valuable because you have less flexibility.
Yeah, and gotta have the payroll flexibility.
Right, exactly. And the value in a team comes from the building and the TV contracts and things like that, not from the players themselves. You can get more players. Players are just, for an owner, things like, you know.
Things.
Yeah, they're just numbers in a ledger, and they're on the wrong side of the ledger. Right. They're not an asset. They're a depreciating asset, I guess, because they just get worse every year.
Remember, whenever they step on the field, you're losing value. Got to get rid of them immediately. And yeah, to be fair to Slangy You, who's Jared on Twitter, it was the second part of a question. I should have read the first part.
It was two separate questions. Now I feel like an idiot, jerk. No,
you're still right. Like, if it means don't sell the teams, like, hell yeah, it's all for it. But his first question was, the Indians TV contract and lease and Progressive Field are both up at the same time. Around 2023, I think that might be right. Should we be concerned that all the move is coming? That could be an option for potential buyers the Dolans are looking to sell. So, if they sell the team. Yeah.
Interesting.
Should we be worried that the fact that everything expires around the same time, they could not be extending players? Like, this is all just a ploy for the Dolans to sell the team to anybody who can just move them anywhere.
Yeah.
Seeing that the Indians, are we the new Montreal Expos? Are we going to be moved to Montreal?
Huh.
It's a little terrifying. It's less terrifying. I don't really live in Cleveland, but I would miss having.
I like rooting for the Cleveland Indians. You know, I don't know. I like rooting for them. I don't want to root for some random team.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm a Cleveland Indians fan first, and like sort of just secondarily was the other Cleveland team. So like, it's still a big deal to me, even though I don't live in Cleveland. But
yeah, I don't like any other Cleveland team. So only the Cleveland, only the Indians. But I mean, maybe, you know what? That would make the lack of an extension would definitely tell a story of them trying to. So the team, yes. I definitely think that makes sense.
That's depressing. Yeah. So thanks for the question.
That is depressing. Though. Damn.
So MTF in Let's Go Tribe comments, he asked, the Indians were 48-28 against the Central Division last season.
Hell yeah.
What's your prediction for 2020? I don't think it'll be quite as lopsided. I think the White Sox, if they run into him at the right time, it could be difficult. Well, I guess maybe the Twins won't be as good. It might be pretty close, actually, because I think the White Sox and Twins will even each other out a little bit, because the White Sox are going to be a little bit better, Twins a little bit worse, and then Tigers and Royals will be steamrolled over.
So let's see how this is how it breaks down. They were 8-11 against the White Sox.
That seems about right again. Good.
18-1 against Detroit.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
I forgot about that. They beat the shit out of Detroit. They outscored.
I guess when you
win
47 games, you probably don't win a whole lot of games.
They outscored them 116-38. Good Lord.
Right in Miggy's face.
Oh, man. They were 12-7 against the Royals. I think the Royals will be a little bit worse this year. I don't think they'll beat the Tigers 18 times, but I'll give them 15.
You're going to knock them down a little bit. They've improved quite a bit.
15 plus 12 is 27. I don't know.
That's 12 the Royals?
I think they'll probably do about the same against the Royals. They were 10-9 against Minnesota, so... I mean,
that stays about the same. I think they could probably have a losing record against either the Twins or the White Sox.
I mean, I think they could win 45 games. He said they were 48-28, right?
Right, yep.
I think they could win 45 games against the Central again. Yeah, definitely. The White Sox are good, certainly, but they already went 8-11 against the White Sox this past year. I think they could do better than that. Maybe they could go 11-8, and so there's more wins there. You know, the score was 79-88 for the entire season. The Indians probably won't be playing all of April as a group of walking wounded and nothing, and the starting pitching is, you know, expecting health from Clevinger and Carrasco. I'm just pulling the Indians' schedule from 2019. Did they play the Royals at all? Let me see here. Sorry, I'm doing great radio. Okay, yeah. So they went.
Googling is always good
radio. Win loss. So they only played the Somehow they only played the White Sox twice in April in 2019. I don't know the other schedule in front of me right now. I can find it, but
they'll be better. I think they're right around the same. I don't think it's going to drop too much.
I mean, 45 wins. Like I said, they'll be stronger. I think in April, which means maybe they won't drop as many as they lost. 1-2 against Minnesota. The one loss against Detroit was there. I went 3-1 against Detroit. They got swept by the Royals. Oh, that was the absolute nadir of the season, right? Oh God, Sunday, April 14th. Oh Lord. Oh yeah. Right, I forgot about that one. Yeah,
26-0.
Yeah,
over two games. Yeah. It'll be right around the same.
Yeah, I'd say 40. I mean, yeah, I'd say 45 wins. So maybe a little bit worse, but you know.
Yeah. Yep. So next one.
18-1.
A concerned citizen, Mary V, on Facebook. She asks, why are you not settling with Dish so people can follow this team? Your followers are left out and mighty upset. Merritt?
I agree.
What the fuck did you do?
This is my favorite question.
What did you do, Merritt?
Well, here's the thing. I hate Dish Network. Here's the list of cable providers I hate the most. Charter. What do I have now? Fios. Comcast. Then Dish is fourth. I hate all of them. The only one I like is RCN.
I'm living that YouTube TV life now, and I'm never going back. It's so interesting. Good.
Can you watch baseball on YouTube TV? Because that was a big thing that they were not renewing contracts with Sinclair Networks.
So the only one for me is Yes Network, and who the fuck cares?
They can go cram it.
I feel that's the one thing I feel bad about. Like people in Cleveland can't use MLB TV to watch the Indians. It's when it works, it's so much better than being stuck on cable.
Oh yeah, no. I mean, I got into a long argument with my because I thought Fios was like throttling my internet or something when I was trying to watch baseball games.
Just MLB TV.
Oh, so yeah, that's all.
Yeah, and then for what it's worth, like that, there's a bundle out there for ESPN, Hulu, and Disney Plus. I just recently got that because I just wanted to watch MLS because I'm starting to get into soccer, and that's so worth it. There is always at least like 24 sports on you could watch at any time. So if you just like general sports and watch people do things, like there's wrestling, there's like college wrestling, like not WWE stuff, just like grappling and
Olympic
rubbing
wrestling.
Each other into the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's lacrosse. There's, of course, soccer. They have every MLS game. So, I mean, if you just want sports, I would just get YouTube TV and that. But it sucks if you're in Cleveland because you can't watch.
Yeah.
But I mean, also, there's plenty of ways to legally stream stuff, which I have to do for hockey because I live in New York. And
you
I'm
live in hell, huh? So you can't watch the Sabres. You probably can't watch the Sabres, the Rangers, the Islanders.
Well, no, I can't. Yeah, that's right.
The Devils?
Right. That's my. I'm a Devils fan. I can't watch them.
And then you probably can't watch, I don't know, Pittsburgh, maybe?
No, I can watch Pittsburgh. It's just the New York teams.
Okay.
And it sucks, too, because even if I could on cable, there's like all those teams you just mentioned share a network. They share the MSG network.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I'd be lucky to watch the Devils on, like, MSG +2, 2+. Like, it was deep in the recesses of the MSG channels, which I didn't get, of course. It's, like, only if you're in New York, so I literally cannot get to the games legally, and I also can't see them on Center Ice or whatever it's called. So I found a really reliable streaming site that has hockey games, which I use. I'm sure there's one for baseball, too. I just don't need to use it.
Also, you're trapped still in the universe of the Dolan family if you're sending money to MSG when you think about
right,
it.
Yeah.
Damn.
I am effectively locking Spike Lee out of his seats. It's my fault.
You're doing a great job.
So, and the Devils got to beat. Destroy the shitty Rangers in Madison
Square. No one cares. Man, no one cares. Come on.
Everybody cares.
This is the Capitals podcast, all right?
So thank you, Mary, for that question.
Yeah, Mary, we appreciate the insight and the
concern. It is Merritt's fault, and I will deal with him.
Listen, I hate Dish Network, and I will always hate Dish Network. And they know what they did, so.
It probably wasn't a good idea to go into negotiations starting with that, but you did what you did, and we can't go back now.
You know what? You got to start. You know what? No, you got to go in there with a hard stance, immovable. All right.
Yeah. Let's see. Do we have any others? We have Texas Tribe from Let's Go Tribe. He asked, "With the payroll, are the Indians laying low and waiting to strike when the opportunity presents itself?"
What the hell does that mean?
I guess that's what they're always doing. You always do it if the opportunity presents. I just don't know if there is an opportunity.
The only thing I can think that might mean is like Yasiel Puig, but they don't need any more outfielders at this point. The roster is full. Is the real problem? Like,
it's not full of good players, but it's full.
Yeah, there's no more room. They have no more roster. They have payroll flexibility, but not roster flexibility.
That's always the dumbest excuse. Like, what are you going to do with Greg Allen if you signed Yasiel Puig? What are you ever going to do?
What? I don't know, man. That's a tease. Oh, no.
I don't mean to harp on Greg Allen all the time, but he's like the seventh outfielder.
No, I know. I like Greg Allen. I'm a huge fan of his. Yeah. And I'm going to write at least 5 more articles this year about
He talked with Fangraphs about hitting. That was really cool. He's clearly a smart dude. He's just, he just got to put it together.
They put the work in, and they just have to give him consistent play time.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, so that's going to do it this week. If you listen this far, go ahead and subscribe on iTunes, leave a review. I'm sure you can review on Spotify and stuff, but iTunes is the one that helps the most, I know for sure, if we get those 5-star reviews. And yeah, so that's going to be this week. Merritt, I'll talk to you next week.
Hey, have a great week.
You too.
I'm just walking my cat by the garbage cans in a sparkly harness. What's so weird about that?